This station is powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777. Or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 13th of August. And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Mr.
Hello,
Andrews.
How are you?
I'm very well. I have had a weekend of frolicking, actually.
Just for a change, you frolicked your way through the weekend.
Well,
I did see some of the tweets. I saw the third bottle tweet on Saturday night from the Ambrette. That went down well.
Actually, Friday night was the Ambrette.
Oh, sorry, Friday night, yeah.
That was,
well, I'm disorientated after my weekend.
Yes, we'll hear about that.
No, we won't.
You've had a terrible time, haven't you? But about me, anyway. So the Ambrette.
Yeah, let's get back on to the important stuff.
About me. Yeah. Did I tell you? The Ambrette in Margate, which was, you know, on Scoff and Quaff, which is a superior show, listener, which is on 11 to 12.
Is it really?
On Channel
Is
Radio.
It any good?
Fabulous.
We had
the winner of the Best Kent Restaurant, Dev.
Right.
Dev Biswall, and he was on, and I decided that I ought to go and actually eat his food at the Ambrette and highly recommend it.
Bit nice, isn't it? I've been to the Ambrette in Rye, which
you?
Is very nice, yeah.
Well, do you know, from the minute we arrived, the door was open, we were greeted. You know, do you know our guests are trying to get my profile? I hate my profile, Paul Andrews.
Don't really?
I won't let it go out.
What are they trying to get it for?
I've got such a big
nose. A wanted poster.
I've got such a big nose. Anyway.
I wasn't going to mention that.
About me. So anyway, the minute you arrive, the door opens, you're greeted, you sit down, little drink. It's fabulous. I highly recommend it. And then, of course, Saturday was Ken Lloyd of Charisma Partnership.
Oh, it was Ken and Nina's big do, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Nina's done a birthday, and then it was their anniversary. So the whole thing was 100 years.
Blimey.
And I had amaretto cheesecake. I had chocolate sort of eaten messy things, gorgeous.
Right.
I had Guinness cake.
So after breakfast, you then went on to the party, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very nice.
Cool.
Yes. And well, how are you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. I'm
a little bit crestfallen.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm getting
soldier on, darling.
I will. The show must go on and all that.
Yes.
we'd like to hear from you, though, the businesses of Kent, so please do tweet me at VanillaWeb or send us an email at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. You can call us on 01303 874998 if you like, but the very best way to get a shout-out on this show is to tweet me, and we have already had a few tweets in. We've had a gazillion emails, which we're going to read during the course of the show. We've got two fabulous guests for you to hear from later.
We have.
But we'd love to hear from you too. And I'm going to start off with an email from a brand new follower and a slightly well-known follower as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it? Do tell.
A lady called Stella English, who you may remember won the recent Apprentice.
Yes.
And she's tweeted me and said, "Hi, Paul. There's a fantastic event on in Whitstable Castle on the 30th of August, and it's featuring Amy Winehouse's goddaughter."
That's right, because I wrote about Stella English in my column, which is Whitstable Times. And yeah, Amy Winehouse's daughter is
goddaughter.
Playing.
Yeah.
Goddaughter.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find out more about that by going to the website EnglishEventsCompany.com. So thank you for that, Stella. Absolute pleasure to have you listening to the show. EnglishEventsCompany.com if you want to find out more about that event at Whitstable Castle on the 30th of August. So I think we've got loads more tweets, and I'll come to them as we go through. But you can start with an email, Jules.
You see, you always bother me when I'm trying to tweet.
Yeah, well, that's all you ever do.
I know.
Even through your own show, I have to run all the show for you because you forget to push the buttons because you're too busy tweeting.
I do. You can breathe, Paul Andrews, when you talk.
I can't breathe.
You can. Kent remembers the few on Eagle Day. So on Tuesday, August the 13th, which is today, it will be the 71st anniversary of Eagle Day. Hotel California coming up. Mm. To the Germans, the Battle of Britain began on 13th of August, Adlertag, or Eagle Day, as they called it, Adlertag. This was one of the strongest attacks during the Battle of Britain, with the RAF, the RAF, flying 722 sorties out of Biggin Hill and a number of other airfields across Kent against an overwhelming 1,485 sent by the Luftwaffe. Action was joined over the Thames estuary at 6:30 in the morning as bombers headed for Eastchurch and Sheerness. Into the afternoon, the action intensified as the morning's two-pronged thrust was repeated with attacks on Detling and Rochford airfields in the southeast. Fighting began at approximately 4 o'clock on both flanks, and a series of vigorous engagements ensued. I love this press release. To remember the few, the Peacock Inn, at Goudhurst. Have I said Goudhurst right?
You have indeed. That's the first Kent village you've ever named properly at the first attempt. I'm absolutely made up that you finally got to grips with the county in which you live.
I'm learning it. Hmm. Is installing a gate guardian Spitfire for the day. You'll see this details of this on www.battleofbritainexperience.co.uk, and it'll be on its way to Headcorn Airfield. And there's a website for that, which is www.combinedops.co.uk. So that's combine and then DOPS.co.uk. And that's this coming weekend. And it'll be joined overhead by the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight and the Red Arrows. There'll be a Spitfire fly past overhead and the St. Port's Lindy Hoppers providing music all day with a barbecue until sold out. And the Stings are providing music entertainment in the evening, starting from 12 noon. So also on Saturday the 17th, there'll be a musical salute to the few to mark the occasion at Biggin Hill Airport. And you can go on to www.synergyevents.co.uk for details of that. Saying that, of course, it was the Whitstable Regatta, as they call it, the Regatta.
The Regatta.
With two T's, Regatta. And we had flypasts going past Tankerton Slopes down to Whitstable. And they do, you know what they do, Paul Andrews?
Now, what do they do?
As they finish, well, they do all this, you know, loop the loop, and it's amazing. You think they're going to crash, and yeah, they just sort of come. But then as they go off towards Sheppey, they do a little wing wave.
Do they?
I love that.
Is it cute?
Sort of bye.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Were you wing walking?
Not this weekend, no.
Okay.
Something I do quite often.
Yeah, I know.
Not. Cool. I've got an unusual request here.
Have you?
And it's quite an unusual request. Dear Paul, on behalf of Click Singles Limited, I would like to ask for your assistance in helping us bring the world record for the most people speed dating in one place back to Kent.
Speed dating?
Yeah, apparently.
Ooh.
The aim is to get 450 people speed dating in one place on the 1st of September 2013 at the Mercure Hotel in Maidstone. That's what used to be the Great Danes at Hollingbourne,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
The current world record for this is held in Johannesburg, South Africa. They had a total of 435 participants for this event. Although Click has already broken a world record for the most speed daters in one place in January 2010, we would now like to make it official and be in the Guinness Book of World Records. We would like to ask for your support in achieving this goal by promoting the event, and anybody that would like to display a poster in their place of work, and by telling all your single friends, letting people know via your networking contacts and connections and your LinkedIn page, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. So Click Singles are asking everybody to make people aware that they're going for this world record dating event on the 1st of September at the Mercure Hotel in Maidstone. It says, please help us put Click Singles and BNI, who are sponsoring the event, into the Guinness Book of World Records. Yours sincerely, Linda Cloak, who's the Managing Director of Click Singles Limited. So if you want to get involved in that in any way, do contact Linda. She hasn't given me a web address or anything like that. I do happen to know you can follow her on the Twitter at Linda Cloak. But if you want to find out more, then drop me an email and I will put you in touch with Linda.
Nice one.
So that's interesting, isn't it?
Speed dating, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice to have something like that for a change.
It's just different, isn't it? A different type of world record.
Do you
it beats sitting in a bar for cold baked beans or something, doesn't it?
Do you want to grow your business but don't have enough hours in the day?
Oh, yes, please, Jules.
You're not alone. Most of my clients are business owners, says Joe Francis of Maidstone Virtual Assistants. And they're not in a position to take on staff. See, I went off piece there.
You did.
The trouble
is, you started making it up as you went along.
Well,
didn't it?
Because really, you need to say who's saying it. You see, in the beginning, if it was a proper press,
you're trying to edit
like
while reading.
I'd write, yeah. You should send them all to me, and I'll just write them. Most of my clients are business owners that aren't in a position to take on staff, or the staff they currently employ are already fully occupied, but they want to be able to build their business. So working with a virtual assistant comes in. The numerous tasks and projects you can outsource that will help to grow your company whilst you focus on the areas of business that are most profitable. So contact Joe Francis of Maidstone Virtual Assistant. There's a phone number which I'll read out, so get a pen. And I will tell you the email now. It's info@maidstone-virtual-assistant.co.uk. And the phone number is 077-86-706-427. That's info@maidstone-virtual-assistant.co.uk. Thank you for that, Joe Francis.
Cool. We've had loads and loads of tweets, but do keep them coming. Just a few to mention so far. We've had Tunbridge Farmers Market tweeting in for a shout out, and I think their next farmers market is at Alresford Priory, isn't it? Just outside Maidstone?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it this weekend?
Who's that tweeting in?
But that was Tunbridge Farmers Market, Wood.
Yes, yeah. The Aylesford Priory one is this Sunday with about 40 stalls.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant. It's a fantastic location,
Aylesford
Priory,
yeah,
for a farmers market. Absolutely stonkingly lovely.
Good idea.
We've also had a tweet in from Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services. He's the man that runs the pet taxi and ambulance service over there in the Medway area. So thank you for that.
Dog Whisperer.
Yeah, Dog Whisperer, Dog Trainer, Parrot.
Lover.
And all kinds of things, yeah. Adrian, thank you for that. The Fat Carrot has retweeted.
She's really thin, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a misnomer. She's neither a ginger nor a carrot, or nor fat.
She's a vegetarian.
Yeah, well, that's
She's going on Scoff and Quaff next Tuesday.
I've never heard of it.
It's a superior show, Paul Andrews, at 11 to 12.
I never heard of it.
Live.
We've had a tweet from Miriam McGirt, who's known on the Twitter as the Josie Maguire. And Miriam will be on the Business Bunker in a couple of weeks' time. She's our listener from Asia
Turkey.
Minor. Yep. Yeah. Based over there, she is in Turkey.
But she's enjoying it in the UK because she's not having to... She's actually able to listen live and not hang on to an aerial.
Yeah. Her dog was holding the aerial on the roof when she was in Turkey, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And tomorrow's people have tweeted as well, telling us that they're going to be listening to their David later on the show. So welcome, guys.
Chris Pollard is saying, iPhone Galaxy 3 or 4 out of battery around 3 p.m. every day. Connect it, have a solution. Contact Chris, 08456885122, at VanillaWeb at Jules Serkin.
I would do, Chris, but my phone's flat. Sorry about that.
Flat.
Right, I've got an interesting email that came in this morning, which I want to read to you. And it's from a lady called Janet Robinson, and she's at SET. I don't know how she pronounces this, whether it's SET training or SET training, but either way, that's how it's spelled.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks for talking to me this morning. We are excited to be able to announce that we are the first delivery partner in Kent offering an apprenticeship in social digital media level 2.
Wow.
It's designed for the 16 to 24-year-old marketplace. The program is fully funded by the government with employer incentive grants to encourage SME and micro businesses a chance to have an apprentice. An apprentice could be shared as long as one company stands as the lead company. The program has been developed by the Digital Youth Academy and its founder, Penny Power.
Hello, Penny.
Hi, Penny. I know, and Penny's husband Thomas spoke at the Digital Kent thing that we had earlier in the year as well.
Yeah.
The programme is supported by Business Innovation and Skills and was launched at the House of Lords in October 2012. Its aim is to connect the digital generation to business. With the news today on cyberbullying and parents' concern about social media, what better time to start to learn an accredited qualification in order to know how to keep safe, but building knowledge of social media tools and marketing strategies to increase a business bottom line figures. We have already since the launch 200 employers nationally, and now this is available in Kent. SET, or SET Training, would like employers to embrace the power of social and digital technologies to underpin their growth and survival. This opportunity will give those young people a chance to embed their born digital skills within a business and help the lost generation who have left school with a chance to enter a new career. We already have a cross-section of companies who have appointed an apprentice, from Dartford Football Club to Mega Fancy Dress. Marketing companies such as Sweet Creative, Webscape Marketing Agency and Best Business Events, and the programme will suit any type of business, large or small. There is a full programme available. If you require any further information, please call Janet Robinson on 01322 423 358, or you can find out their website, which is www.settraining, all one word, settraining.co.uk. Or if anybody wants to find out more, you can contact me and I will pass your details on to Janet. So thank you for that, Janet. A really interesting development. It's about time we had something creative in the apprenticeship field for new technology. So well done on bringing that to Kent.
Did you see that the lovely Brandt has tweeted?
I did, but you're going to tell us about it.
Well, the lovely Brandt has said, that's Ecomedia, if you're following on Twitter, that's ECC.
Brandt, that is the first time ever.
M-E-D-I-A.
That is the first time ever that Jules has mentioned you without doing her faux New Zealand accent.
I was just about to go into my phone.
Well, I just stopped you.
I was going to say, Brandt, have you got a pin or a pin? And are you having fish and chips? Yes. Anyway, so he says, have a great business bunker. By the way, Paul Andrews, a good read in the Thinking Business magazine in this month.
Is there?
Yeah, so you'll have to look.
Oh, cool. Thanks for that, Brandt. I will have a look at that.
Thinking Business, probably written by Brandt, I would assume.
Quite well possible. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to beat it.
Are we?
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the delightful Jules Serkin. You are listening to us via the auspices of channelradio.co.uk.
By the what?
Auspices.
Oh, that's another good
one. It's a website.
The auspices?
Yeah, it's a well-known website.
Auspices?
Auspices.
Auspices.
You can't speak properly, you.
No, I know. I need a caffeine, actually.
It's the word of the day, I've decided.
It's a lovely word.
Yeah, can you enjoy it?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Read us an email then.
Tuesday the 10th of September, and coming up, this is Kent Creative Life. This is from Nathalie Banner. Bonjour. Her phone number I'll be reading out in a minute, so do get your pen. They're having their own stand, Kent Creative Life, at the East Kent B2B exhibition, which is in Canterbury on Tuesday the 10th of September. Are we going there with Bunker? With our roving mics, are we going there?
Well, funny enough, I've had an email this morning asking us if we do some stuff for it, but I haven't looked in the diary and seen where we are. I will try and do something.
Why do they always do it on a Tuesday?
Yeah, well, because they do it deliberately so that we can do the Bunker from it live, obviously.
Okay, fine.
As we did with Ashford, but I haven't sorted it out yet, but hopefully we will.
East Kent B2B is a growing business-to-business exhibition in Kent with events that include Ashford, Gravesend and Canterbury. And it's put together by the chaps at Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. And you get opportunities to make new connections with everyone attending, showcase what you do, promote your services and meet up with existing contacts in a professional and motivating experience. So if you're a creative professional in Kent, Kent Creative are offering you a chance to be present on the stand with a chance to market your work to the many potential customers in need of creative services from web design, Go Vicinity, and other web designers are available, to photographers.
They're not as good, though.
Chris Lee, Tim Stubbings, and many more. Jules Serkin is rather a good photographer, and so is Rob Parker. And from filmmaking to illustration, book a one-hour slot on the Kent Creative Stand, and you'll be present at the stand for an hour between 10 and 3 p.m. Have your business cards and promotional material displayed on the stand all day. Be able to bring photographs and videos, etc., of examples of your work. And be able to hang around for the rest of the day and keep meeting up with visitors and exhibitors. The cost for your one-hour slot is £25 for members and £30 for non-members. Okay, I'm going to read out the details of how to contact them, but you will be able to find it on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Is that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to get in touch before the 27th of August, please. So the website, first of all, is www.kentcreativelive.org. You can phone Natalie 01795 597 576. To get in touch. So that's for the 10th of September at the B2B in Canterbury. And please let her know before the 27th of August for that brilliant opportunity there for Kent Creative.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've had a few tweets. I'm just going to do these and then we will come to our first studio guest.
Make sure you do them from the bottom up, Paul.
I will try. We've had a tweet from Telcare Limited. Telcare are the telephony providers over there on Rochester Medway City Estate. And also the providers of all our broadband services down here at Channel Radio. So thank you for listening, and as always, guys, and thank you for your support. It's much, much appreciated. They're a fantastic bunch of guys to work with, and we really enjoy working with those people at Telcare Limited. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Telcare LTD, all one word, Telcare LTD. We've also had a new listener, and I'm a bit dubious about this because I haven't found out much about them, but their Twitter handle is Expose Yourself.
Well, it's, yes, I think you should be a bit dubious because I've just had two spammers and I've just reported them.
Have you?
You just know, don't you? It's just.
Well, I had a quick look just to make sure.
Did you?
How and they're a video production there? Company, so I was reasonably okay with it.
Yeah. Are you starring in one of their films? Or?
Quite possibly.
Yes.
We've also had a tweet from Business Community Breakfast. Ken Wheeler and the guys over there in Medway, they hold regular business breakfast networking meetings at the Gillingham Golf Club. And we've also had Kentish Fairs tweet us in. So thank you guys to all of those people.
Kentish Fairs are having the Seven Oaks Fair. It's the second one they've done.
Seven Oaks Food Fair?
Yeah, and it's on September the 14th off the top of my head.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
brilliant.
So that will be good.
Yeah, cool.
Go there and support it, guys.
Yeah, good.
And that's Helen Cook.
Is it?
You can get details from me, Jules Serkin. Just Google me.
Okay.
James Gardner's listening.
Is he? Is he still in the US?
Well, I've asked him if he's eating waffles. What's he saying? No, he's not eating waffles. He's back in the UK now, having afternoon tea at work with everyone later for doing so well last month. Because they're a rare, well, maybe not rare.
And no, it's not. I've actually got an email later on about more successful manufacturing businesses
have you?
In Kent. Yeah,
well, there was a manufacturing special coming up, I believe.
We will have eventually, yeah, but it's interesting how many small and medium-sized manufacturers are doing so well.
But I know that Andrew Paul Gardner, said that they had increased by, was it 30%?
Yep, they've grown by 30% in the last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's good stuff.
I love the way you can catch on to what I'm saying when you're tweeting. Very good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I just make it up.
You just save yourself at the end.
Yeah. Do you know what I think we're going to do now? I think we're going to talk to our first studio guest. What
should.
Do you reckon?
The fabulous Rob Parker.
Absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Mr. Rob Parker of Go Vicinity. We've been trying to get him on for ages, but he's in such huge demand.
Well, that's true.
being an all-round brilliant bloke. Rob, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Rob and then you can talk some more about Go Vicinity.
Well, I'm obviously a graphic designer. I started up Go Vicinity quite a few years ago, but I'll, as you said, go back onto that later. Degree level trained in Newcastle. Basically, I was aiming for London before I got my original job and found one in Canterbury.
So you missed, basically.
I missed by
you aimed
60
at London
miles.
And you missed by 60 miles to the left. Okay, it's easily done.
It is. I thought, you know, I'd move over there eventually. And when I got down here, I fell in love with the place. So basically, I never left.
Right.
The company that I started work for, they basically said, come down and stay with us for a weekend. So I literally home for a couple of weeks after finishing university in 1998, quite a long time.
So where was home originally? Are you at university in Newcastle?
I was at uni in Newcastle. I grew up in Derby, which is why I actually say Bath and Grass properly. That's it. But it is now quite tinged with the southern kind of thing, but I've kept my short A's, I'm pleased to say. I ended up just coming down 2 weeks after I finished university. The people I was going to work for put me up.
Right.
And then put me up in a hotel, stayed in the hotel for a month and basically never went home. And been here ever since.
Blimey.
Love it.
Cool.
Really
good. So that brought you into Canterbury?
Yeah.
So what led you into starting Go Vicinity? And when did that happen?
Well, in 2001, I thought at some point I'd quite like my own company. Mm. So I bought the Go Vicinity URL. Back then and just kind of had it there. I used to use it as a showcase for my graphic design.
Right.
And I worked for several different companies about 4 years at a time, moved on, moved up kind of the weights, so junior, middleweight, senior, team leader. Mm. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I guess there's a point when you actually think, you know what, I don't actually agree anymore with what the management are deciding. So I'd quite like to kind of move sideways and start on my own. Mm. And I was quite fortunate, actually, because I used to do quite a lot of photography, which I could charge for. I worked for the last place that I worked for part-time, 3 days a week.
Your last proper job.
The last proper job before I started giving the work out to everyone else and sat there doing nothing anymore. I wish. I eventually left there when I was working 50 hours for myself a week and 3 days for them. I thought, okay, the straw's there, the camel's back's kind of bending quite severely, so I went out on my own, did it, and pushed out, yeah.
Brilliant. So, and when did that happen? When did you fully launch Go Facility?
In it was the 5th of November 2010.
Blimey, that's...
So, yeah, fireworks.
Yeah, fireworks everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, 2010, cool. Yeah. So, you're coming up to your, what, third anniversary?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. Yeah, and it's really good. Thoroughly enjoying working for myself, kind of, for the company.
You've got a good boss, basically. What you're telling us, you've got a great boss.
He doesn't give me any holidays.
Yeah, and you agree with him most of the time.
Some of the time, yeah. And, yeah, now we've got one full-time member of staff,
right.
And we've got a return visitor every summer. Hello, Ali. Mm-hmm. I can't say hi to Mike because he's off gallivanting on holiday.
All right.
Where's he gone?
I don't know where he's gone. Ooh. He's going to try and do last minute.
A secret.
So, yeah, he's left us to kind of carry on trotting on with all the work. And there's lots for you when you get back, Mike, if you're listening. So,
So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about the kind of work, the kind of things that you undertake and you know, your USP, if you like.
Okay, well, I mean, we undertake pretty much every aspect of graphic design. I mean, I've got a list here. I'm not going to read it out because it's just too long and it'd be quite boring. But we work on websites. We don't ship them out. We design them. We build them.
Right.
We're there if you've ever got a problem or you want it expanding. We're on the end of the phone, so basically people can ring up. There's quite a few agencies or that are claimed to do stuff and then send it out somewhere else, and then it's quite long-winded to get it. But we don't. It's me. Is there?
It's all in-house.
I'm the nerd. I sit there and trawl through the code. As Jules can
yes,
say.
I was hacked twice. And
I mean,
I'm not really supposed to talk about the IT side because I had my fingers wrapped once when I wrote about Rob in my column and mentioned it.
Oops.
But I was hacked twice. Once by Russians,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was Russians.
Yeah, and then wasn't it Pakistanis or something?
Yeah, well, you got hacked. You got hacked and then they hacked us. And that was the Karachi Pakistani Music Massive.
But what I like about Rob is that I'm videoing Rob as I talk, so it seems odd.
She's multitasking, listener.
But what I like about Rob is he's so calm, and I'll just phone him and I'll say this, and he said, "Oh, don't worry about it, chick. I'll sort it out.
Yeah,
I'll go down path and
good
sort
impression.
It out."
Yeah. He really does talk like that, doesn't he?
I'll go down path and
all right.
Run
hey, up,
bath
duck. Hey, up, duck. I'll sort that out. No, no, you worry, a pretty little head.
I love pint of Timmy Taylor.
So, yeah, but it's not just web and internet-based media. We work on posters, leaflets, brochures.
Right.
We get work from all over the place. Mm. We found that it's great to be as friendly as you can be and help out as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because usually at the end of it, at some point, someone has a problem and then they will turn back to you.
Mm.
Turn to you to see if you can help it. I went snowboarding about 3 years ago on a stag do, and I shared a room with a guy who he actually designed the Leaf for Nissan and the Qashqai.
Right.
We got chatting, hit it off. He then moved to Switzerland. Someone let them down for the design work. They asked us to do a small job.
Right.
Yeah, it was a really small job. Just a gift to go on. It's on 20,000 computers around the world.
Mm.
But it was just a very small graphic. And from that, you know, it's grown and grown. We're doing posters. Mm. We did their 2013 calendar last year. Mm. We're doing some roll-ups for an event at the moment. I can't remember the name of the event.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for the launch of the new Note.
I'm going to have a little mini rant.
Okay.
Now. Sorry about this. I'm going to have a little mini rant because I totally agree with everything you said, Rob. And because I've known you a long time and I know you do genuinely do what you say you just said, that you do help people and you help people no matter what. And one of the things I try and tell lots and lots of businesses when they look at how they do things, especially web-based businesses, as you know, I own a web-based agency as well. And one of the things that an awful lot of people do is they want to charge for everything and deliver nothing, farm it all out, da 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 da. And I keep trying to tell people that business is about the lifetime value of a customer. You know, a customer might only pay £1 for a job today, but if you treat them well, they might pay £1 next week.
Exactly.
And £2 a week after.
Long term rather than short term.
It's long term. You're in it for the long term. Acquiring new customers is very, very difficult and incredibly expensive. whereas servicing clients over a long period of time gets easier and easier and easier because you get to know each other better and better and better, and you build a long-term relationship, and that's called lifetime value of a customer. And so many businesses don't get it, but you do, and that's one of the great things that you do.
We had a meeting a couple of weeks ago with a chap who wants to develop an app, which I can't go too far into because I've signed an NDA. Basically, we sat there for 2 hours. We scribbled it down with my big Sharpie, my big black pen, and a book. He went away really happy, scanned it in, put it in a job bag, prospective job bag on the computer. 2 weeks later, we had another agency come in to chat to us about something, and I got this out and said, you know, what do you think of this? And they went, oh, yeah, really, really good, interesting, blah, blah, blah. But we would have charged him £500 for this. I'm like, but he's not gonna come and sit in an office with me for 2 hours, me, the guys, and my Sharpie, drawing on a pen, and to pay £500. Yeah. So, I mean, again, as you said, short-term vision rather than...
As a business person, being on the other end of that, my instinct for something like that is, if they're going to take me for that kind of money just to do that, what's it going to cost me at the end of the day? They're going to charge me through the nose every time I cough. Every time I pick the phone up, they're going to send me a bill. I'm not going to deal with them. So absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you've got to give a bit and take a bit in order to get a customer on board. I totally agree.
We've got a client who's moving his server at the moment, and it's being a little problematic because the server isn't up to scratch so much, the new one. And we're trying to sort it out. And, you know, a host move should be about an hour's worth of time, you know, new database, upload the files, bang, you're off and you're running. But I was up until 2 o'clock last night sorting that out, so I was working on it for about 8 hours.
You look good on it.
Yeah, no, that's not what Jules said.
I have to tell you, listener, when Rob arrived, Jules' first words were, blimey, you look rough.
He's not his usual self, he's got a cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a drink of water, Rob.
Ooh, thank you very much.
Paul?
What?
While he drinks his water, you're supposed to fill in.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to fill in. You can be so curmudgeonly.
Yeah, but you're filming. Why are you filming? What are you going to do with this film? Are you populating your YouTube channel
I'm going to charge Rob a fortune for doing a video.
I was going to say.
Claw some money back.
Yeah, exactly. That's at least £1,000 for this video, Rob. She didn't mention that.
I've got a terrible job for him. Rob. Because what I love about Rob is you can just phone him and you can go, hey, Rob, you know, I'm having a bit of a problem. And he's so calm, but... my passwords have got out of hand, Rob. You know, when you try...
Rob knows all your passwords, does he?
Yeah. Well, you've got most of them.
I've got them as well, yeah.
But, you know, it's there's come to a crunch where I need Rob round in my office, and I just know I can just leave him and he'll sort them all out.
This sounds like a Billy Dean moment.
Yeah.
This sounds very much like a Billy Dean
moment.
Where
I lock him in the cupboard.
Yeah, where you called him round to fix your Wi-Fi problem,
that's
and then locked him in your wardrobe for a weekend.
We'd had lunch at JoJo's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When we came back, he was still locked in your wardrobe.
Well, it's a handy person to have,
absolutely,
a Billy Dean or a Rob.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Tell me if I'm right or not. Have you recently
You're not right.
I'm normally not right. Have you recently moved into new offices?
No.
Or refurbished offices?
We started basically in a cupboard.
Right. I knew, in Jules's room. Yeah.
We started in Lombard House in an extremely small room with no exterior windows. In the heat of summer like this, it was wonderful.
Lombard House is kind of derelict now, isn't it?
No.
The
inside is absolutely spot on now.
And if you park in the car park behind, you can get the Wi-Fi, but Rob won't give me the key.
Sorry, it goes a long way. And we started in one little room. We moved across the corridor when someone else moved out, and they've been extremely good, actually. They basically, the room next door to us was a really big room. It had been empty for a while because it was a reasonable amount of money, and obviously, as everyone knows, things have been tight for people, so no one's taking this room. I said, I would like to make our offices larger because there's three of us in there. We don't all want to be sitting on each other's knees. So they just moved a wall for us, and then made two smaller offices out of the space that's next door. I then got one of my clients to move into one of the offices next door because he was looking for somewhere. So we've got some nice big offices now.
It's a great location.
It is. It's central Canterbury. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Rob did invite me up there for a cup of tea, but I haven't had a chance to get up there yet.
Yeah. Have to come.
Yeah, no, I will. I look forward to that. Rob, we could talk about this all day. Unfortunately, we're kind of fast running through the show. So give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle, Facebook page, and all the other stuff that you've got so that people can follow you.
Okay, basically our website is www.govicinity.com. It's it went live this morning, actually, at about 11:30.
So you're up all night working on a client and doing that.
It's not quite finished yet. There's a couple of header images that I've got a cheeky little notice in that we are going to update and make beautiful.
Right.
But we just wanted to get something new up because we harp on to people about how they should have, you know, scalable websites, etc. We're about to plug media queries in so it works on the iPad and iPhone. And Twitter handle, at GoVicinity. Basically, every social network you can imagine, it's just GoVicinity.
Absolutely. A couple of things. I think Jules may have read this earlier from Omicron. Did you?
Tell me something about cans rocking.
You know, Rob's a great designer. He too uses our print services, and that's from Michelle, the print chick.
Hey, Mish.
Omicron Repro in Canterbury.
I didn't read that.
On 01-227-768-275, she says.
Before I go, actually, I'm doing a 12K mud run.
Right. A 12K what?
Mud run.
Mud run.
Yeah, it's basically back to the trenches, it's called.
All right. And we're in the Somme, is it?
Sounds hideous.
Over a lot of obstacles for 12K through lots of mud. So I'll give you the address of that case anyone would like to sponsor us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be quite hardcore.
Shout it out. It sounds it as well.
It's backtothetrenches.co.uk, but I've got the actual web address here. It's for the Cleft Palate, Clapper and Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Okay.
We have a community section on the Kent Business Radio website. We'll put the links on that so that people can follow up about it.
Because it'll be a lot of pain.
Just a word of advice, yeah? Don't use hardcore and mud in the same sentence. just a word of advice.
Not with some of your followers.
Because that could get out of hand.
Jackie at JJ Systems will love that.
Cool.
I want to ask one thing. Where did you get your name from? Rob Parker, GoVicinity.
But, it's basically about taking someone's business and putting them out there in
the vicinity.
In an area. So it's Go Vicinity. So
love
take
it.
Their company, put them out there.
Love
in
that
an
name.
Area.
Cool.
Keep up, Paul Andrews.
Good stuff. Now I've got tweets coming in. I've got emails. No. I've got loads of people.
Actually, the Twitter has gone bananas while you're on.
Everything's gone bananas. And we've got another guest to talk to. Yeah. We've only got 45 minutes of the show left. And we could have talked to Rob forever. So, Rob, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
Brilliant.
It's been an absolute pleasure to get you down here at last. And we will come and have afternoon tea with you in your lovely offices in Canterbury.
We'll get some scones in.
Absolutely. For the moment, thank you, Rob Parker of GoVicinity. I've had a tweet from Amanda Taylor that says, can I have a shout-out for Accountants Amanda? That's her. And she's working at the 404 team today, and we're all listening live, she says. So, welcome... Great, thank you, Amanda. Thank you for that, and thank you to David Shaw and the team at 404.
I've got such arm ache now. Can I get a little tripod next time I video? Arm ache.
I didn't know you were moving into the film business.
No, I think I might. I might start doing video.
I had another tweet from Omicron.
Oh, yes.
Just says, rock on. Cool.
And Karen Thomas, listening to Go Vicinity, talking about a 12K mud run on Vanilla Web, and that her is at Breathe... Breathe and Shore, as it say? Breathe and Shore.
I'm not up to that
Twitter
one yet.
Handle.
You're starting to top down again, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I like to.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
AK Pet Services Adrian, Ben the Collie teeth, nice and white, just like Paul's. He's taken Ben the Collie to the dentist.
Yeah, see, you read that out of sequence. Because I was just about to read the one when he said he was picking up Ben to have his teeth done, and now you've read the outcome before I told the listener what he was doing.
I don't know why I start from the top.
No, nor do I. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I know.
And Chris Pollard says they've not got the aerial up on the roof. They're now sitting in a loft.
Very nice. It must be hot in the loft, though.
Yeah.
Miriam McKirk says, agree this about building long-term relationships. One great job leads to another. It's the pebble in the pond effect. Rob, GoVicinity.
Cool.
Too true.
Right. I want to tell you about this as well. As part of their autumn
series... Huey Green. I want to tell you about it. Wasn't it him that used to say that?
I've no idea.
My friend.
I'm not that old.
Oh, here we go. You're older than me, Paul Andrews. I'll get you back.
Really?
What are you going to tell me then?
I've forgotten now.
Come on.
I'm of an age where I can't remember.
Yes. Go on then.
As part of their autumn series of seminars and presentations, Kent's leading firm of accountants, Reeves & Co., in association with patent attorneys Elkington and Fife, are holding a must-attend presentation for anyone interested in patents and specialist tax advantages that can be obtained by your company in this rapidly changing field. The seminar is being held on the 27th of August, starting at 7:45 and lasting for 75 minutes, and is being held in the Fleming Room in Discovery Park House, Discovery Park Sandwich, as well as answering your queries on patent registration and tax with expert and tax with expert tips and advice. You can enjoy a lovely breakfast of bacon or sausage roll. Registration for the event is free as part of our service to the local business community, and your place can be guaranteed by emailing Scott, that's S-C-O-T-T, .miles@reeves.co.uk, that's scott.miles@reeves.co, or contacting our office at Discovery Park on 01304 249 476, and I will put those links on the Kent Business Radio website. I think you can do one more email, just because we've got gazillions of them.
Business owners have the chance to race down to Brands Hatch Circuit to meet rising star Scott Malvern in the Stopwatch Hospitality Suite and see his car up close. What car's he got then?
Formula 3, I think.
Wow.
I don't know. Sorry, what's his name again?
Scott Malvern.
It might be Formula Ford. I can't remember.
Scott Malvern. He hasn't got a Zephyr 4 then, that's what I...
Hasn't got a Zephyr, no.
Scott Malvern is a multiple champion and has won championships that Jenson Button has. He's broken many records and surpassed the likes of Button, Mark Webber and even Michael Schumacher. Crucially, he's been awarded Rising Star status by the British Racing Drivers Club. So if you want to race Brands Hatch on a race simulator, watch Marks. What's that mean, watch Marks? M-A-R-Q-U, like marquee.
Marks.
What does that mean?
A mark is a type of...
Circuit?
No, it's a type of car. So an Aston Martin is a mark of car.
Oh, how strange. Anyway, watch marks such as Ferrari, Lamborghini,
I don't know why I have to give her English lessons every week.
Oh, I've never heard of it. Watch marks. Why don't they say...
Because it's a well-known term, especially in cars.
Okay.
You get a car mark, like Porsche, is a mark of cars.
Okay. Not a make.
Marque. Huh?
A make.
Yeah, effectively.
So it's a French word then, in other words. Faux. Anyway, such
Mensonge as... Mensonge
et. So you can watch a make of car, such as Ferrari, Lamborghini, Porsche and Aston's.
Or see, or if you'd have read the email, it told you.
No, it doesn't tell me. Listen to Scott being interviewed at the circuit, join in with a Q&A, visit to the pit lane. See, I know what a pit lane is, I just don't know what a mark is. And view Scott's Formula Ford racing car. You can be photographed with Scott in his car, lying on the bonnet. Watch the highlights of one of Scott's races.
She made that bit up.
While Scott will reveal his thinking. Discover how motorsports work for many businesses and how it will work for yours. This is an invite open to businesses only. Two sessions only remaining. You need to go to stopwatchhospitality.com, or you can phone Scott's manager, Paul Clark, 07956885851. There you go. That sounds very good.
Cool.
I want to know about a mark of car.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to play a bit of tunage, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to our next studio guest. What do you reckon?
Great idea.
She ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, ain't the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. We'll be right back.
Mama, take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preachers come and get me released, me is all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. That was me and Julio down by the schoolyard. And this is me and Jules in the Channel Radio studio.
And you were whistling, weren't you?
I was whistling and bopping. I was indeed.
I'm not going down the schoolyard with you, old boy.
Are you not?
Far too much trouble.
I want to read this email and then we're going to come to our next studio guest. I've had an email from Mr. Alex Waterston, who is a fantastically great supporter of the Business Bunker show, and we really do appreciate all the work he does on our behalf in supporting him and appreciating the show. And he's asked us to mention this, which is a kind of bit of a competition. For 7 days only, starting today at 2 p.m, so I'm a little bit early, sorry about that, Alex, until next Tuesday at 2 p.m, on the 20th of August, F Keys are holding a 777 promotion, running a series of half-day Microsoft Excel, Word and PowerPoint training presentations for just £77 plus VAT per person. Sessions will be delivered on various dates in September. So to book your place and not miss out, log on to http://f-keys.eventbrite.co.uk to book and see the course topics and choose the course that's right for you. So don't delay, book today. I will put that link to the Eventbrite booking page on the Kent Business Radio website. If between 2 o'clock today and 2 o'clock next Tuesday you'd like to take advantage of this promotional offer, the 777 promotion for F Keys, if you go to that Eventbrite page and book your course, you can do. And also, F Keys has a full-blown website which can be found at www.f-keys.co.uk, f-keys.co.uk, or you can follow them on the Twitter at F Keys.
On Twitter.
So thank you for that. It's now an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker our second guest of the day, Mr. David Rees-Jones. David is from Tomorrow's People, and he's also involved in the Tomorrow's People retail exploits. So first of all, David, tell our listeners a little bit about Tomorrow's People in general, and then we'll talk about specifically the kind of things you're involved in.
Okay, well, good afternoon. Tomorrow's People is a charity, national charity. It's been going 30 years. Next year we celebrate our 30-year anniversary. And it's aimed at changing the lives of some of society's most marginalised, disadvantaged and excluded people. Mm. It's about getting people back into work, getting them, the youngsters, to understand the worth of having a job and the importance of what difference it makes to their lives going forward.
Absolutely.
And we have wonderful teams around the country. It's one of the lesser known charities. Mm. It's not like the heartstrings charities that most of us at some stage in our lives have reason to come into contact with, sometimes unfortunately for the wrong reasons. Mm. But we do an enormous amount of work around the country getting people back into work. Mm. These could be people who are young, who may have struggled a little bit at school, have self-discipline, motivation, and maybe self-confidence problems.
So Jules, basically.
I don't think that for a moment. But what we're able to do through the programmes that we have funded by the government and by European money, and also, most importantly, a lot of private investment coming in from some great organisations around the country, we're able to get programmes up and running, working in Kent and other areas around the country and getting people back into work.
Brilliant. It's a fantastic organisation, Tomorrow's People. I have to admit, having just recently been appointed an ambassador of the organisation, and the work they do is just fabulous.
We're reliant on people like yourselves, the great Chris Pollard, having ambassadors around the county in promoting our cause. We're a small charity in the sense of the teams that we have. Obviously, most of the money that goes into the programmes that we run. We have a great team up in London that are responsible for generating the finance that enables us to exist. And increasingly, we're now having to turn, like many charities, into the retail arm to then having to go down the world of having our own shops.
Okay. And that's kind of where you come in terms of your day-to-day role, as it
is.
So tell us a bit about that.
My role is stock procurement manager for Tomorrow's People. We opened our first store in Sittingbourne back in February of this year, which is going brilliantly. We've got a wonderful team led by Michelle down there, and the collection team. And as you would expect, like most people, all your listeners will be fully aware as to the importance of, or the increasing importance and insurgence of, charity shops in the high street. Just to put an idea on that, just grabbing some figures, in 2011, 75 charities had just over 7,045 outlets, and they turned annual sales of £670 million.
Good grief.
It's big business.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Is big business. Some of the bigger charities, if you took out Oxfam, they have more stores than M&S. And they, in retail terms, their profit contribution generates some £27 million for them. So we're talking about big, big business and trying to generate funds by way of donations, which is my main purpose for being here today, is to appeal to private and corporates and seeing if there is items that they could perhaps donate to us, which in turn we can sell on through the retail store in Sittingbourne.
Right. Now, this, when you and I met in Canterbury and first started to talk about this, this aspect of it fascinated me, because this is a heavy logistic operation we're talking about here. It's not just bunging out a few bits of odd items of clothes and books from a shop, is it? We're talking about furniture, which is large items of large items, basically, and there's a whole heap of things that have to go around being able to manage that. So tell us a little bit about how the operation works. How I know that you're still trying to source furniture and things like that, but give us some idea to the background logistics that go into operating this store.
Well, I mean, from a donation point of view, we have the retail store. Items can be dropped off at the store to the team. We have storage facilities there. Hopefully I'm going to be given a problem of having so many donations that we're going to have a storage issue, which we'll need to look at as and when that happens, and that will be a nice problem to have. We have our own collection van that can go around and within reason be able to collect. We obviously have to look ultimately at the commercial viability of being able to go out and collect items. Ultimately, it is about making profit, and therefore driving halfway across Kent to go and collect £25 worth of items retail-wise is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
We've also you mentioned furniture. Furniture is a big plus for us. We do sell a lot of furniture. The store that we have just off the high street in Sittingbourne is ideally suited for furniture. It's a standard retail frontage. It's large, it's impressive, it's well lit. The volunteers and the permanent team in there do a great job in updating and regularly changing everything. We have someone that comes in. We can take electrical items, which we have pat tested and double checked that they work.
That's really interesting, because a few years ago it was one of the things that people never wanted donating, because it was, you know, too dodgy if you were. But now you do take them in and you have them pat tested and checked. And
yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, we have to be compliant to the likes of the pat testing. No differently with furniture in particular. We have to be compliant to the fire safety regulations that were introduced in around about 1988.
So do you retreat furniture that you get?
Not at the moment. It is something, I mean, if there were minor tweaks that needed to be done, then we would have a look at doing that.
Right.
I mean, the collection team will have a look at what it is we're going to go and sort of collect, and we'll take a view on it. Ideally, is it saleable?
Yeah.
The worst thing that can happen for us as a charity, because we're very, very conscious as to the environmental recycling issues, that we then go and collect something that ultimately we can't sell, and then ultimately it ends up costing us money in having to dispose of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have wonderful relationships at the moment. We're looking for sustainability. We touched earlier with Rob about the fact of being able to get into longer term projects with people.
Yeah.
We'd love to be able to hear from people who have, it may be seconds coming back from something that they produce.
Right.
There's a lot of corporates out there that have, I'm sure, in cupboards, items sitting there, depending on what they produce, depending on what they make and sell. It could be returned goods. It could be unwanted items. The list is endless. It's quite interesting seeing the various items that we struggle to sell. Videos now are a no-no.
Do you mean the video programs themselves or the recorders or both?
Well, the actual video tapes themselves, most people don't have a method of actually playing them anymore unless you hold them up against the window. So DVDs, how long are they going to be party to us for? You and I, when we met, we spoke about what we're talking about now, digital marketing and the world it's all going, whether by television or radio.
And yet vinyl records are quite popular in certain niches, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I was talking to someone recently, and the vinyl seems to be making a comeback. It is very niche, though.
There's nothing that sounds like vinyl.
No, but, you know, Dave is absolutely right. This is where the opportunity lies. When you get out of a market and, you know, technology moves you on, there's always a remaining market for a niche before, but it is always a niche.
Yeah.
It's never going to be mainstream again, you know. But it was also interesting, I saw an infographic the other day about such things, even computers are now old hat. In the last quarter, Apple sold 3.8 million desktop computers, yeah? But they actually sold 48 million tablets. Yeah. So even that is starting to move away now. So you're absolutely right. It's keeping up with it and what you do with it, because, you know, things like I'm old enough to remember 8-tracks as well. So you got no chance of flogging one of those.
That used to go round and round.
Yeah.
My brother used to have the 8-tracks.
So what's the range of things that you have in your store? Is it primarily clothes? Is there one source of major things that you find easiest to sell, or is it across the board?
Talking with the staff at the Sittingbourne office, the Sittingbourne shop, furniture is perhaps a key item for us.
Okay.
A lot of people in that particular area, like many areas of the country, don't necessarily have huge numbers of pounds in the pocket.
Absolutely.
Retail charity shops have become, not all the charities do furniture, but increasingly a number of them are seeing it as a very viable option. When people have got things to get rid of, you either have to drive down the tip, you sell it on eBay, or ideally you'll donate it to charity. It's giving almost a secondary recycling option for people. And furniture sells as fast as we can get it.
Well,
it comes in and it's out the same day.
Again, fashion, you can paint furniture, make it shabby chic, and do it with chalk paints. It looks fab, doesn't it?
But we also take the normal items that you would associate with charity shops, with clothes, children's and adults. Bric-a-brac, again, young people trying to furnish a house. They need a lot of items, you know, to be able to do that, and they sell well. We have got books, again. Books, you know, is another area which they take up a lot of space, and we were forever. Yesterday I was clearing out something at home and piles and piles of books. My wife and the kids seem to be bringing down from the attic. And they sell well. But they are relatively low end by way of what you can actually ultimately get for them. But there's an awful lot. When I've been down, I've met some wonderful companies who are supporting us in being able to give us items. It could be office furniture, pictures in particular.
I was going to say, we talked about art. That was a good moving market for you as well.
There's a wonderful supporter of ours down in New Haven that comes up with goods with regards to the canvases and various things that they produce, which they do on mail order, and certain customers, it's not what they expect, or they don't want it, and they send them back, and we're able to enjoy the benefit of getting seconds from them. But I'd appeal to anyone with regards to what they have within their offices. Ideally, it must be saleable. It must be clean and of good quality. Ultimately, we're going to be asking our customers to part with their hard-earned money. And the last thing we want to do is to give them something that's then going to ultimately cause them a problem by it not working or there being an issue.
This is not an option for removing stuff to the tip.
Correct. And that's a good point you make, Paul, because, as I said, touched on earlier, it does cost us to get rid of this properly. Mm. And the way we'd like to get rid of it is out through our front doors with someone having bought it,
absolutely.
Not having to go down to get it environmentally correctly got rid of.
Absolutely. How are you fixed for office furniture? Is that something that you can shift?
Office furniture we certainly can shift. Again, it's within its limitations as to the appeal of what it is. Desks we can get rid of. Some companies are actually sort of downsizing. You touched on technology and Rob was talking about it earlier. And the size, the workstations are becoming more popular because you don't need all the files on the desk. Everything is on your hard drive or in an iCloud or wherever it may be.
You obviously haven't seen my desk.
But at the same time, whilst we'd love to have the problem of 1,750 metal filing cabinets, it would possibly be a bit of a challenge for us because don't quite hold the command that they perhaps did 15, 20 years ago. But certainly desks, reception-type chairs, meeting chairs, small round tables, items that people would be able to fit into their normal everyday lives and households sell well.
Cool.
The bigger the item, the less the market that there potentially could be for it. So looking at the desk you're sitting at, it's probably outside most people's capability to fit it in their house. But certainly all of that type of things, musical instruments, household items, accessories, clothing accessories, fashion again is for a lot of people is very, very important.
Right.
Most of us, if we had cause to go to our drawers, would have reason to be able to get rid of at least a third of it by which it doesn't fit, it's out
of style.
Have
you got cause, Paul, to go to your drawers?
Have I got what?
Have you got cause to go to your drawers?
I have got cause to go through my drawers, and David is quite right, most of my clothes don't fit.
But we would love to have more, perhaps from, we have some great donors who drop in on the store. We have collection teams that go in dropping off bags around the Sittingbourne area.
Right.
But at the same time, we'd like to hear from people in Kent, business people, who would like to help Tomorrow's People in being able to donate on perhaps an ongoing basis. Mm. We are just trying out some programs where for largish companies, they're encouraging in turn because of their corporate social responsibilities, they're encouraging their staff at the same time to have donation days whereby they bring the items from home into work.
Oh, they bring it to work. What a good idea. What a brilliant idea.
Okay. But that's in that we're just testing that at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I like that.
As I say, we've been going since February, so we're still learning lessons as we go along.
Cool. So, what are the plans? You've got the store in Sittingbourne. You're up and running with that now and you're making sales from it. Do you have plans to open more stores either in Kent or around the country?
Yes, indeed. I mean, we've got the store in Sittingbourne that's been up and running since February. We've got one up in Bromborough on the Wirral. That's been open 2-3 months now, and we're just in the initial stages of planning the next store for Glasgow. We're picking a number of cities in which we have representation by way of some of the programs that we work around the country. Long term, we certainly have mid to long term plans to increase the estate somewhat, but we want to learn the lessons and roll them out correctly so that we do it right first time every time.
Right.
We are looking for retail premises in Kent, in particular, if anyone perhaps in the Maidstone area had something or some idea, a vacant shop in a high street is ideal for us, and maybe even rent-free would be even better. That would be ideal. We might agree to be able to pay the rates, the business rates. But yes, what we'd like to do is perhaps look at getting a cluster group of shops, a bit like the hospices have done. They do great sterling work in and around Kent. And you see their vans buzzing all over the place.
Yeah, you do.
So yes, we'd like to see, we'd like ideally, I mean, to look at this as a long-term program and come up maybe down the line with 30, 40, 50 shops all the time, but of course that they retain profit.
Yeah, absolutely. David, we could talk about this forever. Unfortunately, we're fast running out of time. How do people get hold of you if they want to find out more or help or donate?
Very, very simply. If they're happy to drop me an email, if they can assist us, the email address is drhysjones. I will spell that for you. That's drhys-jones@tomorrows-people.co.uk. So drhys-jones@tomorrows-people.co.uk. If they wanted to volunteer, then we'd like to hear from them. If they're in and around the Sittingbourne area, we're always looking for volunteers. The shop number is 01795 410 734. So 01795 410 734. And if they want to find out more about Tomorrow's People, the website, as Jules said, all the W's earlier, tomorrows-people.org.uk. And the Sittingbourne store is at 6 Roman Square, which is literally just off the high street in Sittingbourne.
Cool.
That's helping brilliant. A young person get back to work. It's a huge,
absolutely,
huge,
yes. Young and old. A number of people who've come off the rails require our assistance and just need a... It's all about... Tomorrow's People is about giving people a hand up, not a handout.
Absolutely. Fantastic work that they do. And the ethos is one of the things that I really like, which is why I wanted to get involved in what I do. David, thank you so much for
that.
Thank
you very much.
Anybody that does want to participate, and there will be lots of you and we will be checking, if you missed any of those details or you can't find them on the Business Bunker website when I put them up later, you can always contact me and I will pass you on to Tomorrow's People, to the shop or to David, whichever is appropriate. David Rhys Jones of Tomorrow's People, thank you so much for joining us on the Business
Bunker. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, George.
There must
absolute
be a little
pleasure.
Bit of Welsh in there, mustn't there, somewhere?
Do you think so?
David Rhys Jones.
I thought you got away with that, David. I thought, she hasn't noticed, she hasn't mentioned sheep. We're home and dry with this, with a few minutes to go, but no.
But, Paul, a nice Welsh cake.
Yeah.
Oh, a little griddle scone.
Oh.
Cool. I can't do a Welsh accent, that's why I kept quiet.
I thought that was a bit, you know, missing.
But a Welsh cake.
Look, you. Okay. I mentioned this a little bit earlier about manufacturing about Component Force and how well they're doing.
Yes.
A manufacturer of fire detection and alarm control panels has underlined its confidence in the future by investing in a new sheet metal punching machine. Kentech Electronics, that's K-E-N-T-E-C, Kentech Electronics, based in Forks Avenue, Dartford, has stepped up capacity by installing an Armada automatic machine alongside its original equipment purchased 5 years ago. The firm, which was founded more than 25 years ago, says the new machine will significantly increase Kentech's production capacity and allow the company to continue to offer customers a fast order turnaround. Earlier this week, official figures showed the UK manufacturing output rose by 1.9%, the steepest monthly rise since July last year, and Kentech is enjoying rising worldwide demand for its fire detection and alarm control panel products. Improved and extended tooling capability will also add to productivity and enhance the quality, the firm said. In 2009, Kentech was granted the Queen's Royal Warrant of Appointment in recognition of its status as an official supplier of fire detection equipment to the royal household. And it was also awarded Investors in People status in 2004. So that's another Kent and UK manufacturing success.
Fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
It's great.
And it goes so under the radar because people don't see it. And I just spend an awful lot of my life arguing with people that think we don't make anything in this country anymore. And they couldn't be more wrong if they tried, but hey.
We need to shout about it.
We're the seventh largest manufacturing nation in the world.
What's the top manufacturing nation?
The USA.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have thought the USA would be the biggest.
I think it's USA, Germany, Japan. I can't remember.
Why don't you bring it in and we'll do a 1 to 10 and, you know, we can play that Alan Freeman fluff.
I was going to say, poptastic manufacturing charts.
Charts.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay.
The Muesli Mafia have their next meeting Thursday, 26th of September at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes, formerly Hotel, in Hollingbourne, ME171R4RogerE4EGG, commencing at 7:30 a.m. It's £24, which is £20 plus VAT. To find out more details, go on to www.muesleymafia.co.uk or you can contact JFS Consulting. So that's the 26th of September, Muesli Mafia.
Brilliant. We just had a tweet from Stopwatch Management.
Oh, yeah.
Who says... having just listened to David on the radio, can you now play Tomorrow's People by Ziggy Marley, please? Thank you. Well, we would, Paul, but we're fast running out of time. I haven't got time for any more tunage.
Discovery Park is now home to another Chamber member. Europe's largest science, technology and business park, Discovery Park, which is over in Sandwich, has further increased its tenant base as recruitment consultancy Morgan Jones has moved to the it's 220 acres, this site.
It's a huge site. It's the old Pfizer site, obviously.
I must nip down there. Morgan Jones has provided recruitment solutions for over 14 years to businesses in the South East and London, from established offices in Broadstairs and London, Victoria. And the company recruits permanent and temporary staff for a variety of organisations in multi-sector business areas. For example, admin, pharmaceutical, engineering, again, sales and marketing, IT, finance, law and accountancy. So you can find them. There is a phone number, which I'll read you out in a tick if you get your pen. The website is www.discovery-park.co.uk. And the phone number is 0808 168 1474. And we will put details of that on the Business Bunker website after the show.
Cool.
kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
We're having a bit of a Dragon's Den day today because you talked to someone from Duncan Bannatyne's organisation.
I did.
We've had Richard Farley on the show. And now we've got investor Doug Richards. You remember Doug?
Yes,
he was one of the original Dragons.
Yeah.
He's coming to Canterbury as part of the launch of a school for creative startups in Kent. School for Creative Startups Kent and Kent Creative Live have teamed up to offer a workshop aimed at creative professionals in Kent. Money for your creative business and startup. The event will run on Thursday, the 22nd of August. That's a good day, that is.
Yes, it's your birthday.
Oh, is it really? I had forgotten.
Because you are a Leo.
Am I?
You know I'll be in Spain, but I shall be having a party for you when I get back.
Oh,
well, I'll have a party for you in Spain as well.
I was going to say, I thought you'd more likely have a party in Spain while I'm not there. Anyway, on said day, Thursday, 22nd of August, from 9.30 to 12.30 at the Beanie in Canterbury, the tickets are £35 per person and it includes 2 hours with Doug Richards and 1 hour of networking afterwards and tea and coffee. Join the former Dragon's Den investor, Doug Richard, for an information workshop where he will highlight new and innovative services that allow new and small businesses access to funds and provide investors greater potential returns. Learn how to identify if or when you really need additional capital. Understand what kind of funding best fits your needs and demystify the intricacies of accessing it, whether it be from angel investors, loans or crowdfunding. Talking about which, we had a tweet earlier from Paul Norley, who goes under the name Not the Banker Dave.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul is about to launch his peer-to-peer networking, peer-to-peer lending group in Maidstone very soon.
Excellent.
So do stay looking at that.
So that's Not the Bank of Dave, if you're following on Twitter.
Yeah, on the Twitter, Not the Bank of Dave.
Yeah.
The founding school for startups in 2008, Doug has now helped more than 25,000 people around the globe start, scale and globalise their businesses. This month, Doug launches his newest programme, School for Creative Startups Kent, in partnership with Kent County Council, which focuses on supporting Kent's vibrant, creative and cultural scene, as well as encouraging economic growth in the county. I happen to be the chairman of creativekent.org.
You seem to be the chairman of most of
them. Yeah, I know. And not many people know this, but do you know there are 95,000 people employed in the creative industries in this county?
That's amazing.
95,000 people.
Gobsmacked by your...
county.
It is.
Really?
Well, look at all the unis we've got in Canterbury.
Absolutely. That email was sent in to us by Natalie Benaigs of Kent Creative Arts. And you can find out more about that by going to the website, which is www.kentcreativelive.org.
Selbin, S-E-L-B-N.
South East London Business Network, love.
Thank you.
That's
all
right.
I was going to call it Selbin.
Nah, South East London Business Network.
Now, they have a networking event. The next one will be Thursday the 19th of September at 6:30 p.m. at the usual venue, which is Henry's of Bromley. Is that a wine bar? Sounds nice.
Yes, it's by Bromley South Railway Station, remember correctly.
So, details of these events are www.networkerplus.net/SELBN. There will be different speakers, and the early bird price is just £20, including a first free drink and a finger buffet. There you are. So go on to that. That's from John Coupland. Thank you. He's a regular on Business Bunker. We'll put details of that on the Business Bunker website after the show. Won't
cool.
we, Paul Andrews?
Absolutely. I had a couple of tweets in. Jacqueline Offen, JJ Systems, with whoops. She said, whoops, I just remembered that Gover Sinity is on the Business Bunker show today. Fancy forgetting the lovely Rob. So just because she's listening now, just say hello to her, Rob. Just
hey, Jackie, what's up?
Shall cool. we just call her Tardy?
Yeah, yeah. But you can listen again, Jackie. Don't worry. The show will be up to listen again in an hour or so.
And you got a mention.
Yeah, absolutely, you did. I've just had a tweet from Stopwatch Hospitality again, which says many Lotus F1 cars will be at Brands Hatch on the 23rd and 24th of August. Join us in the Stopwatch suite. It's £35 Saturday or £48 Sunday, and Cortina's 50th birthday.
Is that the Lotus mark?
That's the Lotus mark. You see, you're getting it.
I know.
I'll tell you a very quick story about Lotus.
Go on, don't point at me then.
Lotus are back in Formula One now, but many years ago they were in Formula One when I owned a motor racing team. Mm-hmm. And we were testing our F3 car at Silverstone, and Lotus were in the garage next door to us. And Derek Warwick, who was their lead driver at the time, wandered into our garage while we were trying to get our car to go. Mm. And we couldn't get it to go at all. And bless him, he took the car out for us. He went round. He came back, he got all the Lotus mechanics to sort our car out, and then they cleared off. So, fair play to them.
Well,
good bunch of guys.
I used to drive the Lotus Esprit Turbo for JFS.
Turbo, that's a fish.
Turbo. When I was 25, and I had to take it to race meetings.
Did they make cars then?
Yes, they did. And I drove it the wrong way around Brands Hatch.
I'm glad we got to that bit in the story.
I was a bit of a floozy in those days.
Yeah, I bet.
Apprenticeships. I wasn't winding you up then. It's just when you said they got it started, I was cranking because you're
that old.
I thought
you were trying to tell me to on with it.
Do you remember the starter thing? You would remember.
And the guy with the red flag.
Yeah. Apprenticeships. Your views, please. The government is currently consulting on how it can move funding for apprenticeships to employers, and over the next few weeks we'll be inviting chamber member and local businesses members even and local businesses to give their views on these proposals, and they'll be interested to know what businesses think about the three approaches being put forward to help refocus apprenticeships on their original conception, in which their core is the relationship between the apprentice and the employer. Good one for you, Rob Parker.
Yeah, absolutely,
because you know you've been a real success with your mic.
For us, it's worked extremely well.
Mm.
Really, really well.
The most radical option would be to fund employers directly, either utilising the PAYE system or through a new online apprenticeship system. And the third reforms the existing funding structure. For further details on these proposals, look at www.gov.uk/government/uploads. I'm bored now. We'll put it on the Business Bunker after. There's lots of forward slashes. But funding reform for apprenticeships in England is a PDF, so you can Google that, it'll come up, and we'll put it on our website after.
Brilliant. A couple of things. I haven't got an email about it, but I happen to remember, and you did mention it earlier, so maybe there was an email about it, which is the up-and-coming B2B East Kent thing in Canterbury sometime in September.
Yeah, you did mention that earlier.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I did remember that now. It's just I've had another email saying, well, are we going to cover it or not? And yes, of course we are. We will try and do an outside broadcast from that event.
Oh, yeah, we read that out there at the beginning after Eagle Day.
Yeah. Kent Invicta Chamber have a whole series of networking lunches. Lunches from 12 to 2 p.m. and it costs £20 for chamber members and £25 for non-members. And it's your last chance to book the following. Thursday the 15th of August, that's this Thursday, at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, and that's a barbecue special.
Mm.
Tuesday the 20th of August at Tunbridge at the River Centre. Thursday the 29th of August at the Conningbrook in Ashford.
Is that Tonbridge or Tunbridge?
It's Tunbridge.
T-O-N?
T-O-N, yeah.
Right.
Tunbridge Wells has a U, Tunbridge has an O.
It's all very confusing.
Thursday the 19th of September at Maidstone at the Best Western Russell Hotel. Or Wednesday the 25th of September at Greenfield Shooting in Canterbury.
Ah.
You can find out all about those events by going to the kentinvictachamber.co.uk website.
Had a tweet in from Lenleys. They're in Roper Road, Canterbury. Dear Vanilla,
it's not from Dennis Brophy, head of beds, by any chance.
But they've got a new lovely man that's helping Dennis Brophy called Simon. And he knows all about beds. He's fantastic,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they're saying, hi, VanillaWeb, hi, Jules Sirkin.
Hello.
Just to let you know, it's our summer sale, which won't be on forever, and lots of bargains, and some interest-free credit for 2 years.
Really? Jules and I used to spend many a happy afternoon bouncing on the beds around there.
Yeah, and we used to eat comfit of duck after bouncing, not before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like the Vispring, personally. I'm saving up for one.
Are you?
I'm actually going to get one that's ex-display that you've bounced on, probably.
Oh, you don't want that.
They're handmade, you know.
I bought a new bed a couple of months ago, and that was a real bad decision. I bought a cheaper bed, and it's not good. It's one of those with silly slats.
Because you didn't listen to me.
I know.
You're not the type to have silly slats,
are
you?
I know.
Mind you, the ventilation might be good. Mid Kent Branch, FSB, Federation of Small Business Members Evening. The Library, Castle Road in Allington. Have I said that right?
Yeah.
Allington. M for Mother, E, 16 OPR, if you're going by your sat-nav. Monday, 23rd of September, 6:45pm for 7. And the guest speaker is Nick Rowell, or Rowell, Cash Flow Out of the Box. Oh, love that. And Andrew Craddock, who is NACFB. National, what's that? Come on, Paul. NACFB.
NACFB.
Finance for Business. National Association
of Corporate Finance for Business.
See, I knew
I'm just making it up. I don't know.
Tea, coffee and biscuits. Maybe that's what it stands for. Will be available. Bring a friend. Now, to book that, you need to go to 3Ws / 2013 Mid-Kent member meeting eventbrite.com and all that. But you'll find it on the Business Bunker. Then they've got the Elwick Club in Ashford. That's Tuesday the 22nd of October, so that's a date for your diaries. It's 6:30pm and it's about pension schemes. Oh dear, soon you'll have no choice if you don't have a pension scheme. Rob, are you listening to this with all your apprentices? So the guest speaker is going to be Paul Baker, Managing Director of Full Federation Small Business Independent Finance Service. To go to that, you can go onto the South Kent AGM 13.eventbrite. But you'll need to register a pension scheme, auto-enrol all eligible staff and pay contributions. Scary stuff.
Cool. We're fast running out of time and trying to get through as many of these time-critical ones as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, a programme of exciting flying entertainment, including a special flypast from the Red Arrows and the RAF Sea King, a breathtaking Battle of Britain memorial flight by a Lancaster, Spitfire and Hurricane, and a selection of display aircraft are all awaiting you at the Combined Ops Show. A Headcorn Aerodrome, designated as a World War II advanced landing ground, will play host to this military family weekend on the 17th and 18th of August. That's this weekend, folks. Throughout each day, a variety of vintage aircraft will be taking off and landing. It certainly will be a busy weekend for air traffic control. If you have never been close to these amazing machines and their pilots, then now is the time. There's loads and loads of information here. I haven't got time to read it all out. I've just got time to tell you, tickets for the event are available online, priced at £8 for adults, or £6 for children and seniors. You pay an extra pound if you buy it on the door, while under fives are allowed in free. Family tickets are available from £22 online, and all tickets can be pre-booked at www.heritage-events.co.uk. So that's the Combined Ops Weekend at Headcorn Aerodrome this weekend, the 17th and 18th of August, to see loads and loads and loads of famous Second World War and other vintage aircraft, plus a flypast by the Red Arrows and the RAF Sting. Have you got one more email you can do there?
Yeah, well, don't forget, there's the Business Every Breakfast Canterbury. If you want to know about that, tweet at GoVicinity, Rob Parker. He'll let you know when the next one is. They're usually on a Wednesday morning. And also, 14th of August, which is manana, Introduction to Fundraising, which is being offered exclusively for Kent charities at the Maidstone Hilton, just off Junction 7. So go to www.bigsocietyweb.com/workshops. That's about 20... I don't know how much it costs. No, it's free, I think. Anyway, 14th of August, tomorrow, go on to the bigsocietyweb.com/workshops.
Brilliant.
Lots coming up.
Brilliant. Paul at Stopwatch Hospitality said, Jules, any Lotus at the Lotus Festival on Saturday, August 24th, will be able to drive a parade lap. So get your Lotus out of the garage.
Ooh.
But do you know what? We've reached the end of the show.
Didn't it go quickly?
I know. It just leads me to say a massively big thank you to Rob Parker of GoVicinity Mr. David Rees-Jones of Tomorrow's People. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Coming up on Channel Radio next at 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cam with Extra Milk. We had Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite, with the Craig Avery Show at 5 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the boys are back in town with New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews and Stu Andrews tonight. So stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. We'll be back with the Business Bunker next week. Thank you for listening to me and the lovely Jules.
Bye.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing.